Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on The Week in Review. I'm Nick Blumberg. Amanda Vinicky has the evening off. Mayor Brandon Johnson wipes the slate clean, appointing an entirely new Chicago school board.
I use my authority that the people of Chicago gave me, which is to hurry up and make sure that our children get what they deserve.
A fiery Mayor Johnson announces his new picks and swats away criticism from alder people over the rapid-fire changes.
We have been transforming this district. It takes time. You know, the district didn't get here overnight. I'm starting my fourth year. But today, Brandon, as I sit, our schools have more resources than ever before.
Meanwhile, school CEO Pedro Martinez defends his stewardship of the district as questions swirl over whether the new board will keep him on.
What are we doing here? You may not like it. You think I like deferring the stuff? But you know what I don't like? Canceling ShotSpotter when people are dying on the damn street.
Frustrated alder people throw up roadblocks for the mayor at a city council meeting and air grievances over the school board and the ShotSpotter contract.
We avoid using one-time revenues for recurring expenses. We don't borrow more than we need. We don't spend more than we have.
And as Chicago faces political tumult and a cash crunch, Cook County unveils a rosy budget for the coming year. And now to our Week in Review panel. Joining us are Michael Liptrot with Block Club Chicago, Sarah Freistadt with the Chicago Tribune, Rufus Williams with WVON, and Quinn Myers also with Block Club Chicago. Thank you for being here. Let's get right to it. Plenty to talk about this week. Exactly. Just days after the entire school board resigned, Mayor Johnson made six new picks to oversee CPS. He says he wants to ensure stability for the district, help with the transition to this hybrid board in January. But we've got contract talks with the CTU. We've got a budget crunch. Quinn Myers, does the full board turning over risk some of that stability?
I think has risked it already, yeah. I mean, we have seen a totally new school board put in place over the past week. Well, most of them, six members, were appointed, nominated, I should say, by the mayor in a combative Monday morning press conference. We saw a couple clips from that in your setup. The stability is at risk. I don't know, you know, there have been headlines about chaos and turmoil. I don't want to go too far, but there is a lot of uncertainty over who's going to be running CPS. Will this new board fire Pedro Martinez? Will they take out a high-interest, short-term, $300 million loan to cover a pension payment and some upcoming contract costs? We don't know. And looming over all of this is the hybrid elected school board that's going to take their seats in just a few months and going to be voted on in about 3 weeks from now. So this school board is going to change dramatically very soon. And so there's a lot going on and a lot of uncertainty.
Well, and to Quinn's point about the chaos, turmoil, whether that's overstating the case or not, certainly there's quite a bit of change going on and, you know, the potential for some instability. I mean, Rufus Williams, if you're a CPS parent or a student who's old enough to be following the news, is this the kind of thing that you think, you know, makes parents uneasy?
Well, I think it makes everyone uneasy. And going through the things that he just pointed out, it was already going to be some difficulty with an elected school board. We've had a mayoral control over the schools since 1995. And so this was going to be different. And having to go into 21 people versus 7 people was going to be challenging. It's difficult for parents and young people not to know what's going on in the news, not to understand what's going on around all of this, including what happens with the teacher's contract and all that's there. So the mayor talked much about transforming schools. And even in the press conferences and all, I don't know that we really heard about what that transformation is. So we come to this point where we're voting, election day is the 5th of November, where we vote for these 10 members. The mayor still gets to appoint 10, still gets to appoint the president of the board, so still has control over the schools, arguably, until 2026. So if I am a parent, if I am a student, as I am a taxpayer, I am very concerned about where we are and what happens with our schools going forward.
Rufus, you put it very well, and thinking about boiling this down, it's really an issue of control. And from how all of this is really set up with the beef between Brandon Johnson and Pedro Martinez, and even bigger when thinking about the city of Chicago versus CPS, where the phrase that's been commonly used, I've been seeing, is just kicking the can down the road from over decades of pensions, which is really the root of this.
Right.
jumping back and forth between who is responsible. And as I think about just this current state where Chicagoans voted with the idea of having an insider, a teacher, someone who has been an organizer with the Chicago Teachers Union, having their back when it comes to this, and for the entire board to resign en masse, is truly a show of bucking that control. And Pedro Martinez and Brandon Johnson were here on Chicago Tonight and both giving their sides of the story. But when I think about it, it's really going to be a testament to how Johnson's going to handle this moving forward.
Well, and does having this entirely new board come in pretty much seal Pedro Martinez's fate, or is that still to be determined?
You know, one of the things that I heard the mayor say is that all executives should be reviewed by their boards, except if you are a new board, how do you know how the executive is done?
Yeah, you're looking at it from the outside.
Exactly. So in order to have an honest evaluation, that's kind of difficult to do with a brand new group of people coming in.
And yeah. Should you let, you know, the new board, the 21-member board, take their seats and then have an evaluation of Pedro Martinez?
Right. Well, and, you know, and Sarah, you know, Pedro Martinez kind of went on the offensive this week. He did a whole slew of interviews, not just with us. He was, you know, news outlets around the city trying to make his case. Did seeing that public campaign surprise you at all, that approach he took?
You know, it didn't. I think it's only natural that, you know, you would... Really, as you mentioned, this has come down to a battle between the mayor and Pedro Martinez. Obviously, they have completely differing views on the next steps here, with a lot at stake, with the future of, you know, we're talking about the political battles here, but let's not forget, this is, you know, these are students, these are families, and that's what's at stake here. So a lot riding on that, and, you know, I think it makes complete sense.
Yeah, I know we're not going to spend all day on this, but we can.
I was going to say, we're going until 6:30 tonight, yeah. Folks. Buckle up.
You know, part of this is really, we've got a mayor who was part of the teachers union before he became mayor, and we're in the midst of negotiating a new teacher contract. So Pedro Martinez being there for taxpayers is a stopgap. And what the board was doing was kind of making sure as we went through all these things, let's be sure we're negotiating for. So it does become concerning when you've got the person who you're negotiating against sitting in the other seat. So what kind of negotiation is that? And how does that truly portend for taxpayers and for children?
Well, and we heard, you know, from the CTU weighing in, saying it's looking forward to working with the new board, you know, referencing this, you know, the mayor's pledge to transform schools in the city, you know, but critics say the CTU's got undue influence in this. Do you think that holds water, potentially?
Yes, obviously, but the CTU doesn't work with the board. The CTU works with the CEO, and Pedro is in that spot right now. That's the place where that is. Is there undue influence of the union? It's kind of what you would expect when one of the union members becomes the mayor. And you know within this time of this term, there is going to be a negotiation for a new contract.
We've heard both from the CTU and from Pedro Martinez himself advocating to use some of the money collected by TIF districts to go towards school funding. Quinn, do you think the political will exists to reallocate that TIF money?
Well, let's remember that at the origin of this is all, it's all about budget. It's all about money, right? CPS was facing a $500 million budget gap. Chicago's facing almost $1 billion next year. This year, we still have a $223 million budget gap to deal with. So I do think that, you know, the TIF angle, we'll see if there is political will. I know a lot of aldermen rely on those TIFs to prop up developments in their ward. The Chicago Teachers Union suggested phasing out all TIFs and using that money immediately to, you know, plug this budget gap. I can tell you there's certainly not the political will to do that immediately. But I do think that, you know, CPS may get some more TIF money. We'll see. But, you know, if the mayor has his way, it looks like they will be taking out a short-term high-interest loan to cover the upcoming pension payments, $175 million, as well as some contract costs.
Yeah, there's some caution to be added there again, because what you're doing is talking about using long-term assets to take care of operating expenses. And you've got to deal with this again next year. So if you haven't fixed the structural issue, you haven't fixed the problem. So using all the TIF dollars to do something like that, it's problematic.
And Sarah, you mentioned, you know, the impact on students, on parents, on communities. You know, we saw this week the Acero Charter School Network said seven schools are going to be closing. They're not, you know, district schools, but, you know, how much does this underscore just how emotional these sorts of school closures and these back and forths can get?
You know, I think you're right. This is this is emotional. These are, again, children. We're talking about emotional for families. People feel very attached to their community schools, but also emotional for, you know, maybe emotional is the wrong word, but perhaps very personal for the mayor, for the people who are kind of fighting these political battles at a high level, right? The mayor has a lot at stake here. This is something that he has, you know, transforming public schools is something he has said he feels like he was elected to do. And, you know, that's kind of his name riding on the line there.
Yeah, I do think it's important to look at this in the larger context of what has happened in the past 6 months to a year. The mayor is putting his foot down on the school board issue. Look at Schatzhauser. He's been challenged left and right over and over by the city council.
We will get he was to not that.
he was not able to seat his preferred zoning chair. He had a compromise with Walter Burnett. So the mayor's power has been questioned repeatedly. And I think at that very combative Monday morning press conference, we saw him saying, enough. Whether that will be respected, we'll see.
Well, let's talk about some of those.
Definitely
can't
go ahead. Yeah. On Monday.
And I mean, let's talk about some of those challenges. 41 Alder people signing an open letter calling for public hearings on school board appointees. That did not happen, or at least not yet. They're also talking, you know, there was some talk about using subpoena power to call in board members for hearings, which the city's top lawyer says they can't do. You know, Michael, how much more do you expect to see Alder people trying to weigh in on this issue? We've got they want to have a hearing next week to hear from board members, but it seems like there's a lot of frustration there and maybe not a lot of power they can exercise here.
I believe City Council is definitely fighting for control in the midst of just this mess right now. And myself, as well as Quinn, we were at City Hall on Wednesday when the move to adjourn was being delayed, when
right,
a fire alarm went off. And it's something where it's just so hectic, and it feels rather hectic. And from the battle at this point between Johnson and the City Council and CPS over just taking control of the situation right now, from Monday to Wednesday to what is likely going to be an extended process when it comes to just navigating these waters to the election and afterwards. I don't know exactly what the compromise will be, because as Rufus mentioned, taking out a high interest loan at this point is going to be a very short-sighted decision. And the Alder people pushed for them to have influence on the board appointments and have influence on just how Johnson's handling this situation. I don't know when it comes to subpoenas and taking people to hearings. Johnson said it himself, they can have as many hearings as they want. His authority is enshrined as far as state government. So I'm not sure what the outcome will be as far as Alder people, but it isn't going to stop soon.
And, you know, to your point, I think that's something we have to keep in mind that's really coloring everything that's been going on in the past few weeks, and including the CPS debate, is the mayor he's fighting so many battles on so many fronts. And, you know, he's expending a lot of political capital to get some of his, you know, ideas, attempting to get some of his ideas through. And at a certain point, you know, isn't it going to come down to, like, prioritizing, right? He's going to have to pick his battles. And so what will those battles be?
Well, all of them, it seems like.
Right.
This is the thing, you know, to your point, there's a city council that's now feeling more empowered in wanting to do things. And some of the issues that came up at the press conference was really, we've had strong mayors in Chicago for a very long time. We've had Mayor Daley and Mayor Daley. Mm-hmm. We've had Mayor Washington. We've had Rahm Emanuel. We've had Mayor Lightfoot. All strong mayors, and this mayor is seeing that nobody's ever come at them in the ways in which they're coming at him. And so this battle will continue, but there are certain things that are truly within his purview, and certainly the schools are one of those things.
It was very fitting on Monday that, and almost, it was very poetic in a way, that Johnson's coming to God moment happened in a church with a black congregation. And just seeing, like you said, him outwardly expressing, and what people, for the most part, the first time seeing him display how he feels, yes, as far as feeling like he's attacked.
Saying he was trying to keep his composure. Yeah.
Right. Feeling that, in an added layer of this, that him being a black man has been influential to the criticism that he's receiving. And in response to some of the reporters' questions, saying, well, is it time for the black man? Are you expecting the black man to take control? Are you expecting the black man to get rid of these problems immediately? And just seeing that for every black person, a black man in professional America, you know you're under an added microscope. And it's really easy for you, your judgment to get clouded when it comes to what is expected of other people, what is a criticism for other people versus is this criticism coming to me specifically as a black man?
Yeah.
And he is definitely doing his best to navigate that.
Yeah.
And I hope that he can just get through that when it comes to this and that combative relationship with the media, who's ultimately going to have to take the brunt of this cleanup, where the sit-downs he's doing at WTTW, the sit-downs he's going to be doing as far as interviews to lay out what the city's going to do to get through this situation with CPS, ShotSpotter, and a billion-dollar budget deficit. He's going to need the media.
Well, I will say the mayor is welcome for a sit down at WTTW any old time.
Yeah, all those who are listening should know he also comes on WVON pretty regularly.
Right. Exactly. Come and we would love for him to continue doing that.
As he will. Come listen to the sit downs.
Well, and, you know, Quinn, you mentioned ShotSpotter because we can't, you know, forget about that. At the city council on Wednesday, he got, you know, Alderman Anthony Beal blocked every old run of the mill item that the mayor introduced, and he's been leading the charge to try and keep ShotSpotter around. I mean, there's also been a fundraising campaign to try and keep it around. Mm-hmm. The mayor said he wasn't going to veto the ordinance in favor of ShotSpotter. Does this fight seem to be going anywhere anytime soon?
Well, it's, you know, ShotSpotter has taken an outsized role in the conversation for over the past year since the mayor said, talked about phasing it out. You know, he ran on this as a campaign issue. I do think it's going to continue. You know, all the people who have pushed for this ordinance to give the superintendent power to potentially enter into a contract, they, are going to continue calling for that. The mayor said, you know, that's illegal. I'm not even going to bother vetoing it, which kind of canceled this special city council meeting this week, which could have overturned that veto. So it's going to remain an issue, but I don't see ShotSpotter returning to Chicago streets anytime soon, if at all, even though, you know, some business people have raised $2.5 million to pay for it for a couple months at least. The mayor bucked that and totally dismissed that at his press conference this week.
Well, and, you know, given that contentious relationship between the mayor and the council on a number of issues, and as you mentioned, that billion-dollar budget deficit facing the city, I mean, Sarah, how complicated is this upcoming budgeting season that we're heading into going to be?
Right, exactly. So I mentioned before the many battles the mayor is fighting, and it really all comes down to budget season. He needs the city council's help to try to address this year's budget deficit, the enormous deficit they're looking at next year. And, you know, this is coming at the same time that he is fighting with them on ShotSpotter. He is fighting with, you know, on CPS. And so how much goodwill he has among council could really play a huge role in the budget situation.
Let's just see if he tries to raise property taxes. Then where is the current level of goodwill going to go? Even it's going to go farther down.
Well, no, because in keeping up with campaign promises, that was one of the ones he made. He was not going to raise property taxes. So as a property taxpayer, I'm happy for
and
that.
And the mayor has never gone back on a campaign.
Well,
can he stick to it? Can he stick to it?
Exactly. He says everything is on the table. That's
right.
What he said.
Yeah. Because he also said that he wasn't going to cut emergency responders. Yeah. And we see that there's layoffs happening with firemen and police officers.
Yeah.
And,
Harold Washington famously said, politics ain't beanbag. So in trying to pull together the coalitions that he's going to need to get any of these done, it's going to take some work to do that, because there needs to be progress on some of these fronts here for our city.
Well, and we heard in the setup package, Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle painting a pretty rosy picture of the upcoming budget and lauding the county's fiscal responsibility. Rufus, do you think she was sending a message to the city, perhaps?
Well, I think a message was certainly received by everyone. They heard all of the parallels that you just pointed out, that there is all the things that you would hope the city would be able to be in the same place, yet they're not. So lessons to be learned, if lessons hadn't been learned otherwise. But, you know, she's also a very seasoned politician, has been in that role, has been in the automatic role, and knows how to pull together these coalitions. Our mayor doesn't have that same level of seasoning yet.
And there's not, the factions that exist on the city council do not exist on the Cook County Board. It is a different political climate in some ways.
And a fraction the number of people on the Cook County Board of Commissioners versus city council.
I wasn't going to mention the schools again, but you do see the difference in the ability to work with a much smaller group than to work with a much larger group.
And speaking of always being welcome on WTTW, we'll note President Preckwinkle is scheduled to join us on Monday, so we're looking forward to hearing from her. Some other budgets, Sarah, the CTA board unveiled its new budget for the upcoming year, and they are continuing to sound the alarm about the fiscal cliff transit's facing in 2026. Remind us what the issue is there.
Right. So right now we're not on CTA, not quite having some of the same fireworks as city council, but
maybe soon enough.
So the region's transit agencies have been plugging their budget holes with federal COVID relief money. That is going to run out in 2026, which means next year we're going to be talking about enormous budget deficits in the hundreds of millions of dollars for budgets that are much smaller than the city's budget. So what do we do about that? that's the big question that is on every transit agency's mind.
Well, and there's been the legislation proposed to merge CTA, Metra, PACE, RTA. There's been some hearings on that. You know, what do we know about whether that's moving forward or not? Still too early?
Right, yes. So, you know, as you said, there's legislation to merge the transit agencies into one. We have heard that will not be coming up during the veto session, which means we're looking at next spring. If I had to take a guess, I would say maybe like an 11th hour, end of session situation, but that's just my guess.
General Assembly does love those.
So we've still got a couple months to see what happens.
You know, it's just challenging to hear this COVID money situation continually come up when that money was never going to be long-term money, but it seems that long-term decisions were made based on short-term money that was coming in.
Yeah.
It's really, I think about that a lot. And, obviously the city got COVID money, the county got COVID money, the transit agencies. One thing the transit agencies did that some of these other agencies did not do was they just put it towards plugging budget holes. They lost so much money so quickly, and they just said, we can't keep buses and trains running if we don't put this money towards, like hiring people, keeping everything running, keeping it going, and
It plugs the holes, but it doesn't take care of the structural issues.
Exactly.
So that's what we continue to see happening in all these agencies, that we've got structural issues that create these deficits.
And that's the battle that's the argument that CTA President Dorval Carter has made multiple times, is that this comes down to a decades-old problem with the way transit is funded, which is the argument he is making in Springfield to try to get more money.
And speaking of Springfield, the one-time man at the top of the hill there, Michael Madigan, former House Speaker, jury selection is underway. As of today, 11 had been seated. They need one more and 6 alternates. It is a very slow pace so far. This is a pretty high-profile case, but, Michael, should we expect this to be a slog based on the pace it's going at right now?
It's going to take a while. This is going to be one of the defining corruption cases of this decade, if not this first quarter of the century, when it comes to Illinois politics. And thinking about the legacy that Michael Madigan has at the State House, I wouldn't expect this to move any faster. If anything, I would expect this to just slow down.
Well, and there was also a Supreme Court ruling earlier this year that significantly weakened a really important federal bribery law, which could be a boon to Madigan's defense. I mean, Quinn, if you're a federal prosecutor, are you worried this big case could go bust?
I don't know about going bust, but I think it is in the back of their heads. I mean, it delayed it by about 6 months, right? And that certainly, they're looking at the so-called ComEd 4 case that happened in 2023. Their lawyers want that to be retried because of this change in how the Supreme Court is interpreting the bribery statute in terms of gratuities and that sort of thing. I do think that is a factor here, and it has narrowed the definition of bribery.
He is as shrewd as they come, Mike Madigan is. So it'll be interesting to see how all this works out, because as you watch him move and maneuver over the years, just as shrewd as they come.
Yeah, and one imagines that that's going to be at the heart of the case, the degree to which he exercised control over the General Assembly. But certainly seems like there are many issues yet to be resolved with this case.
Yeah, and as Michael says, this is a case for the ages, But we've had a number of them.
You know, it's a number of them very recently,
yes.
Over many years, but of course very recently. And you mentioned before just the unusual kind of dynamics with the mayor about the mayor being a little bit less powerful than past yeah. mayors. I'm struck by thinking that Chicago and Illinois have always been places where these very powerful figures loom over politics.
Yeah. Well, and you've been four very powerful figures looming over this panel. I hate to cut us off, but that's where we'll have to leave it tonight. We are out of time, so our thanks to Michael Liptrot, Sarah Freistadt, Rufus Williams, and Quinn Myers. And we're back to wrap things up right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family. The Polk Brothers Foundation. Additional support is provided by
And that's our show for this Friday night. If you need some help getting in the Halloween spirit, check out our website for our list of 13, of course, chilling choices for Halloween arts and culture events in the Chicago area. Now for the Week in Review, I'm Nick Blumberg. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night. All right, Ernie, are you going to be out there running the marathon this coming Sunday?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
I'll be cheering them on.
Okay, cheering them on from the sidelines or staying?
Very much okay. from the sidelines.
Okay, that's good. Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's either from the sidelines or staying home.
You're going to be a runner. You got the physique. You're going to be out there.
I certainly don't have the stamina. I will be on the sidelines with a sign cheering my heart out.
Yeah.
But no, 26 miles, I don't think I can.
I wonder if anyone's going to set a record this year.
I would hope
Chicago,
so. Yeah.
They did set a record last year, right?
Right.
It's so
it's
flat, that really helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm committed to giving back to the community through law and philanthropy.